I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
What happens when the fourth turning meets fifth generation warfare?
A commentator, international social media sensation, and former Navy intelligence veteran.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Deliver us from evil.
Shot of New York City. It's a big night tonight in the Big Apple. It's shaping up to be one of the biggest nights in Democratic politics since President Biden's inauguration. Former presidents Obama and Clinton will join Biden in New York City for an hours-long fundraiser, including moderated conversations with Stephen Colbert and a lineup of musical performances that include Queen, Latifah, Lizzo, and Ben Platt.
I think Jordan Roth.
I love Queen
put
Latifah.
That together.
Jordan did that?
Jordan
oh,
did,
I love yeah. it. It's yeah. gonna, that means it's going to be amazing. The massive effort, which is expected to host over 5,000 people, has already raised over $25 million for Biden.
President Trump will also be in New York today to attend the wake of NYPD officer Jonathan Diller, who was shot and killed during what they call a routine traffic stop, allegedly by a career criminal arrested 21 times. Over 1,000 people attended a candlelight vigil in Diller's hometown. Now, NYPD Sergeant's Benevolent Association president is telling some politicians that they say have not backed the blue to stay away from the funeral.
Tragic death of Officer Jonathan Diller, killed in the line of duty yesterday when he was shot during a traffic stop in Far Rockaway.
Tonight, a community's anguish was clear to see as a 31-year-old husband and father's body arrived at a funeral home in Massapequa Park.
Well, an arrest has been made in the death of NYPD Officer Jonathan Diller.
All right, the driver of the car that he stopped before being shot is facing two weapons charges.
Lindsey Jones was arraigned today on weapons charges. Lindsey Jones was remanded by the judge. It came out in court that he was already out on bail in connection to a separate crime the night Officer Diller was shot and killed. Police say he was driving, and he's saying that the man that pulled the trigger was a hitchhiker. We found that out in court. Guy Rivera.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard. Today's edition of Human Events Daily, live from Washington, D.C. Today is March 28th, 2024. Anno Domini, we go live now to Long Island, New York. David Zier is on the ground. The death of one of New York's finest.
Hey, David. Jack. Good afternoon. It's a rainy and somber day for one of New York's finest, NYPD finest, Jonathan Diller, who leaves behind a wife and a one-year-old son here, shot on a routine traffic stop in Monday in Far Rockaway, Queens, where there's a lot of crime in New York City, by convicted criminals Guy Rivera and Lindy Jones. These guys were arrested 10, 21 times for the other. But we're outside the Massapequa Funeral Home here on the south shore of Long Island, Massapequa, where Jonathan Diller lived, to Massapequa Park, where so many first responders, emergency service workers, NYPD, FDNY commute every day to New York City under an embattled situation where they can't do their job. People feel they can operate with impunity here. The Trump motorcade just pulled up. Trump's inside the funeral home right now. He's going to come out with a press gaggle and make some remarks, apparently, in a little while. But the story here is that, you know, Trump gave a donation to Tunnel to Towers, believe he paid off the mortgage for this family through Tunnels to Towers, and had a phone call with the family. But the Sergeants Benevolent Association in New York City is telling New York City council members to stay away from the funeral, specifically Adrian Adams and Jumaane Williams, who had, defund the police operations going on during the George Floyd protests and riots in the city. They wanted to handicap the cops in January. At least Mayor Adams stood up and vetoed that bill, bogging them down with paperwork here. But Jack, the sad story here is that 200 cops a month retire in New York City. Many are leaving without even waiting for their 20-year pension here. If anyone wants to make donations, the silvershieldfoundation.org/donate for the family here. But this was a routine traffic stop. They were casing a T-Mobile store in Queens. The cop was shot in the abdomen or the stomach and passed away. Very, very sad day here in Nassau County.
Now, walk me through, David, and we've only got a minute left. So President Trump, we're told he's going to be speaking here very soon publicly. Are we going to be able to take that?
I lost Jack.
All right, so we're going to take that live, folks. President Trump speaking soon there, Massapequa Funeral Home, Long Island, New York. This was a career criminal, who should receive the death penalty in public, as well as the person who is with him. And to all the judges and the politicians and the Soros policies, the people who pushed these things that allowed this person to be back on the street, they themselves should spend the rest of their natural lives behind bars, in jail. Jonathan Diller shouldn't be going to a funeral home today. He should be going home to his wife and son. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best ways that you can support us here at Human Events and the work that we do is subscribing to us on our Rumble channel. Make sure you're subscribed. You hit the notifications so you'll never miss a clip. You'll never miss a new live episode, and we're putting them out every single day of the week.
When I grew up in the hood, I rolled with Bloods, and them boys had a saying. You can't be listening to all that slappy whack, trimatazole, it's a bam ship, nippy bam bam, like Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec, we are back live here at Human Events Daily. Look, folks, as we speak, Texas is picking up the pieces after 1.1 million acres of land was destroyed in one of the worst wildfires in history. And who knows how badly that will affect the new supply chain of food all across America. That's where today's episode sponsor comes in. My Patriot Supply has helped millions of American families prepare for the uncertain future, whether that's an economic crisis, a supply chain disaster, or World War III. Many families, like my own, start with their three-month emergency food kit. With 22 food and beverage choices, you'll always have something tasty at your fingertips. And the kiddos, well, they'll never get bored. With over 2,000 calories a day, you'll get all the nutrients you need and a three-month emergency food kit from Sealed, come Sealed, inside ultra durable packaging, lasts up to 25 years. Look, stock up on all the food kits your family needs, mypatriotsupply.com. You'll get each kit for $200 off. Protect yourself, protect your people. Get your kids at mypatriotsupply.com. They ship fast and free. Protect yourself, protect your people, protect your family's future. Start preparing at mypatriotsupply.com, mypatriotsupply.com. We have Mike Davis here, the Article 3 Project. So, Mike, As we move from, and President Trump expected to speak very soon, we're going to take that live when he does, at this, the wake of the death of this, one of New York's finest, police officer, this criminal who didn't have the law turned on him in any way, was arrested 21 times, was out on the street, and now he's shooting police officers in broad daylight, in the same way that there are no laws applied to this guy. Instead, in these other cases, in the case of John Eastman, we have the law completely twisted and over-applied to political enemies of the regime. This is the hallmark, the textbook hallmark of anarcho-tyranny. Anarcho-tyranny is always used in such a way to let out the violent criminals to run amok among society and then to take down anyone who stands in the way of the agenda. Mike, tell me why all of this has happened to John Eastman. Walk me through the details and then give us the latest update.
Yeah, what's happening to John Eastman is a disgrace. You have this Democrat judge in California, Yvette Roland, who donated to Obama. She donated to Kamala Harris, to Gavin Newsom, the DNC, Axe Blue, and other Democrats. She is recommending that John Eastman, a constitutional attorney, a former professor, a former law school dean who clerked for the Supreme Court of the United States, Justice Clarence Thomas on the Supreme Court. He clerked for the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals for Judge Mike Luttig, who's completely lost his mind now. He's been Trump deranged, but he made a legal argument, that the vice president's about the vice president's role in the certification of the presidential election results on January 6th. This Democrat judge in California doesn't agree with his legal argument, so she's recommending his disbarment. This can't happen in this country where you have attorneys getting disbarred because they're making legal arguments. They're making what some may consider fringe legal arguments. They're zealously representing their clients. I talked about this earlier, and I tweeted about this, that Thurgood Marshall advocated for courts to ignore a 50-plus-year-old precedent by the Supreme Court called Plessy versus Ferguson, separate but equal. It's an abomination of our law, but that was the Supreme Court controlling precedent for more than 50 years. And Thurgood Marshall advocated for these lower courts to ignore it, and so the Supreme Court can eventually overturn Plessy versus Ferguson, which the Supreme Court did with Brown versus Board of Education. Thurgood Marshall was the attorney on the case. Did he get disbarred? No, he got put on the Supreme Court of the United States because he was a very effective lawyer. This is a very dangerous game these Democrats are playing by disbarring attorneys for making legal arguments that they consider fringe. One's fringe legal argument ends up being a hallmark case.
So, and this is incredible to me. So the idea that they basically didn't like the legal argument, so now they're, what is the current update? They're stripping him of his law license, is that right?
Yeah, this Democrat Obama donor judge in California is stripping him of his law license, effective in 2 days. And then the Supreme Court of California is going to decide whether John Eastman keeps his law license or if he's disbarred. And this is insane that this is happening. Hunter, just remember this. Hunter Biden gets to keep his law license, but John Eastman does not.
And so this is what's been done. So she's written already this recommendation that he should lose his license in California for this, these 11 disciplinary charges, the state bar, all of this is being done at the same time. Now, Mike, help me understand this. This isn't going to just go away on its own, is it? Republicans and conservatives, they have this idea that, oh, well, if you just get away from Trump and stop helping Trump and stop going with him and stop participating in anything with Trump, then all of this is going to stop. Is that true?
That is a dangerously naive and stupid way of thinking by these Republicans, these weak Republicans. Trump is a billionaire, former and likely future president of the United States. He is in the Democrats' way. These Democrats are not just going after Trump and Trump's top aides like Steve Bannon and Peter Navarro, eviscerating 250 years of constitutional executive privilege to throw them in prison. He's going after Trump's lawyers, both inside the government like Jeff Clark and outside the government like John Eastman, for making legal arguments with which they disagree. They're trying to throw Jeff Clark in prison over this. They're trying to disbar both Jeff Clark and John Eastman. They're trying to destroy their lives. They're going after Trump's supporters on January 6th. Even those who were not violent, those who didn't even trespass, apparently they're looking at going after them for just merely being on the Capitol grounds. They're looking at going after them for trespassing on the Capitol grounds, which is just absolutely insane. They're going after parents outraged by gender chaos in schools and the resulting rapes in high school bathrooms. They're going after Christians praying outside of abortion clinics, while these same Democrats, these Marxist Democrats in the Biden Justice Department in New York and D.C. and Atlanta, while they're going after Trump, his top aides, his supporters, parents, Christians, they give amnesty to Joe Biden and his family. They give amnesty to BLM, Antifa, Hamas, abortion industry activists, trans terrorists. The leftist protesters are causing a hell of a lot more damage, death, and destruction than anyone did on January 6th. But look at how our system has been weaponized, right? And so to these Republicans who think this is going away, when Trump's going away, I would say, wake up. wake up. This is, you don't understand. This is not our parents or grandparents' Democrat Party. These aren't liberals who love America. These are leftists. These are Marxists. They're trying to destroy us.
Look, you're preaching to the choir, man. We've got the whole new book out. Just came out last week. We're calling it Unhumans, the Secret History of Communist Revolutions and How to Crush Them. And we specifically make this argument that conservatives need to wake up. This is a playbook that's been run in country after country for 250 years at this point. And I get it, right? We don't want to be in this situation. It's hard to have to admit that these people have taken over so many of our institutions and so many places. But what we used to be able to laugh off and say, oh, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, or oh, California's just that way, or oh, San Francisco, guess what? They've got power now. And they're using that power against us. They're using that power to get their way. They're using that power to let violent criminals out of jail so they can kill police officers like Jonathan Diller and then go after good attorneys like John Eastman. It's very clear. And so, you know, I guess, Mike, why is it that so many conservatives, and you've got tons of experience on Capitol Hill, why is it that they can't understand that this is actually intentional?
Because they are so weak and stupid. And what needs to happen, and when Trump is back in the White House, his acting attorney general on January 20th, 2025, needs to open a criminal probe on this obvious criminal conspiracy by these Democrats to wage this illegal lawfare and election interference, to interfere in the election and to violate the civil rights of so many Americans. Trump, his top aides, his lawyers, his supporters, parents, Christians. This is an all-out assault by the left to use government, to use law enforcement in the courts to destroy political enemies. This is what happens in third world Marxist hellholes, as you know very well, Jack. This is what happens in communist countries, you know, like China and North Korea, Zimbabwe, and now New York, D.C., and Atlanta.
No, this is exactly why we put the book together. It's called Unhumans. People go get it. It's 40% off right now. Mike Davis, where can people go to follow you to get more information?
Thank you, Jack. It's article3project.org. You can donate and take action there and find our social media.
Incredible. Folks, people need to go and support Article 3 because you have to look at this. This is not the rule of law. This is the rule of people. This is the rule by leftists. This is rule by power. This is will to power. And the left is focusing on that. The right wants to sit around and argue about, oh, we're not getting equal treatment. We're not being treated fairly. Oh, don't be mean. Don't say something that might be offensive. We've got to, you want to spend your time, it's pathological, where the right will attempt to prove to the other side that they're actually good people and say, if you just accept me and accept that I'm a good person, then maybe everything will be okay. Stop trying to justify yourselves to these people. You do not have to. They are destroying our society. They're running roughshod over our liberties under color of law. And it's time that they felt the heat. It's as simple as that. This will not stop until they receive reciprocity. Stay tuned. Human Events Daily next. President Trump speaks very soon.
Far, but I got a hankering, a yearning deep inside for this book called Unhumans I just can't hide.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live, Human Events Daily. The book is Unhumans. Folks, the most important election in the history of the United States is just a few short months away. And today's Human Events Daily partner, Patriot Mobile, wants to celebrate with a special offer. Just in case you haven't made the switch yet, until March 31st, you can get a free month of service when you switch to Patriot Mobile. To take advantage of this unprecedented offer, all you have to do is go to patriotmobile.com/poso and use promo code SPRING24. That's it. It's that easy. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending a message, just like we all did on Super Tuesday, that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. So get your free month of service today, patriotmobile.com/POSO. Get a free month of service when you use promo code SPRING24. patriotmobile.com/POSO, patriotmobile.com/POSO. And very excited to announce that we actually have our next guest is the CEO of Patriot Mobile. Glenn Story joins us now. Glenn, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Good to hear from you and good chatting.
Good as well. Now, so we're always causing trouble over here at Human Events. You guys are always causing trouble over at Patriot Mobile. Tell me, and this is something people don't get, and I've seen you guys refer to now, you're the far right cell phone company. Like, what do you mean far right cell phone company? You're just doing cell phones. You're doing mobile service. I don't understand. Why are they so upset with you guys?
You know, I hear that all the time, and I look at it and say, we're not far right. You know, my dad was a World War II vet. He served in the Army, blowing up bridges, came back, went back and into the Navy because his town was either deceased or gone overseas fighting. I grew up with a military man. And you know what's interesting? He instilled biblical values in me. He loves the freedom of the country, freedom of press, First Amendment, Second Amendment, right to life, military first responders. If that makes me far right, well, you know what? I'm sorry. I mean, I just believe in the freedom that we have, that the men and women that founded this country and the ones that have lost their lives, if that's who I am. That's who we are as a business. We put God first in everything that we do. He's the center of our business and we're his stewards. I love that. I mean, I am fired up every day to get out and do what we do.
Well, no, and I say they call us far right because actually they're so far to the left that everyone looks far right to them because they're actually right. So far, you know, we're just normal. And so when you talk about that, you know, you guys, you're actually doing so much more than just providing service for people, though, because you know, and as we're in Holy Week today being, of course, Holy Thursday, we're going into the Easter weekend. It's so important for people to understand that in our secularized society, where we've taken God out of everything, where we've taken God out of all of these places, you are actually working to bring God back into the public square.
Amen. I mean, I say this frequently, even though it was last year that we did so. You know, one of our favorite senators here in Texas is Brian Hughes. He crafted a bill that said, if somebody brings you an In God We Trust into the school, that needs to be hung on the wall in a very obvious place. Well, you know, as a team, we decided, you know what, let's print a few thousand of those and give them out to the various schools. And I'm going to tell you, that created such a stir. I mean, it was interesting. The BBC came in and said, don't you think that's pushing God? And the New York Times wrote a big article, and they were all hit pieces. But at the end of the day, those kind of hit pieces do us wonders. Our business just flourished. And, you know, all we did was want to put In God We Trust, because we believe in God. Our country was founded on biblical principles, you know, and it's really simple. It really is simple. But people there are a very small fraction of people that make a great deal of noise about it. And, you know, I just say I don't really care.
Now, there's the other. No, we shouldn't care. We should actually, by the way, not care about their complaints, but we should care because I've always said that this all goes back to, and we got this in the new book as well, that in the 1960s, the very first target they made was God in the public square by pushing in this country. And people don't want to believe this. In this country, it used to be common for public schools to open. Go back to our own history to open with the Pledge of Allegiance, and then reading a passage of the Holy Bible. And that was just normal in schoolhouses all over the country. And the very first thing that the soft revolution, the irregular revolution, whatever you want to call it, the counterculture did was push God out of the public square. Now, one of the other things that I just heard that you guys are supporting is this new program that allows for students in these schools to go and attend prayer sessions during school hours if it's off site. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, we sponsor a group called LifeWise Academy, and they organized within a school, and it allows kids to leave for an hour or 30 minutes. I think it's every day. I'm not quite sure. I'm not well versed, but we're trying to bring God back into schools. We're not trying to force religion on anybody. We just want the freedom to allow children to worship their creator. You know, when I grew up in the late 60s, early 70s, we prayed, we did the Pledge of Allegiance. Every day we had a prayer session and the school started. The real beauty of that is we're just trying to get others or aligning with organizations that truly puts freedom back in. And that's the freedom of religion, that right to worship him.
Well, and it's amazing, too, because when we go back to our First Amendment, everybody knows the First Amendment includes freedom of speech and freedom of the press and freedom of the assembly, but it also includes the freedom of religion. And the point Amen. Of that was not that the government should restrict religion or put That's restrictions right. on religion. If a local school, right, if a local school, and I'm just talking about under the Constitution on the way things should be, if a local school and the school board decides that, hey, we want these types of prayers in our school board, then that should be legal. That is legal under the Constitution, under the way it was, again, originally written. And that's the way it was in American history for over a century. And it's only up until the 1960s and others when they started changing these things and moving it around by taking God, by taking the Holy Bible out of our framework, by taking him out, that's what takes away our moral center. By the way, we've got we see President Trump just left the wake of this officer there in New York. I'm not sure if he's about to speak or what the schedule is. Do we have any update on that, guys? All right, any moment President Trump is expected to speak. But Glenn, talk to me about the importance of why we should have moral standards and how that comes from our Bible.
Well, yeah, that's why should we have moral standards? It does kind of govern what we do and think as a society. But, you know, my philosophy is, look, you know, I believe it all starts in the home. The foundation, the belief of a child as they grow up starts in the home. And look, we're obligated. We're responsible here. I think he's coming on right now.
Glenn, we've got him. President Trump.
It's so hard to make this area beautiful and safe. And this is what happened. It's such a sad, sad event. It's such a horrible thing. And it's happening all too often. And we're just not going to let it happen. We just can't. 21 times arrested this thug, and the person in the car with him was arrested many times, and they don't learn because they don't respect, they're not given the respect. The police are the greatest people we have. There's nothing and there's nobody like them. This should never happen. I just visited with a very beautiful wife that now doesn't have her husband. Stephanie was just incredible. Their child, brand new, beautiful baby, sitting there, innocent as can be, doesn't know how his life has been changed. But the Diller family will never be the same. We can never be the same. And we have to stop it. We have to stop it. We have to get back to law and order. We have to do a lot of things differently because this is not working. This is happening too often. It's an honor to be here. And again, I want to just thank all of you. I would just say Bruce, thank you. Bruce has been a friend of mine for a long time. He's done an incredible job out here. But this is such a sad occasion. The only thing we can say is maybe something's going to be learned. We've got to toughen it up. We've got to strengthen it up. This should never be allowed. Things like this shouldn't take place and to take place so often. So thank you all for being here. It's an honor, and it's an honor for me to be here. This is a great family, the Diller family. I met friends, and I met every one of them inside. And these just incredible people that are just devastated. They're devastated. They've got a tough road. A very tough road. So thank you very much, everybody. Appreciate it.
I just want to say thank you to President Trump for coming here to be with the Diller family. It was very comforting for them. It was very warm inside. And people were very, very, they were very blessed to have someone like President Trump who cared so much, spent a lot of time with the family, and was, again, a tremendous comfort to the family and probably the most difficult time this family's ever had. And God bless Stephanie. Brian, we are going to help raise, because he's only 1 year old and he's going to grow up without a dad, but he's going to have thousands of dads that are going to look after him. And to Fran, his mother, and Jessica, Jennifer, and Jason, his brother and sister, and the whole family, Aunt Carol and Uncle Jimmy, our hearts go out to them. And may God bless them and may God bless America. Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. President,
what did you say to them?
What message did you convey to the family?
You got to toughen it up. You got to have law and order. These things can't happen. We need law and order. It just can't happen. Thank you very much.
What changes did you make to prevent something like that?
There you go, folks. Take a break here.
Could stand a mystery. The hidden tales of the communist history. I want to know the truth, what really went down. So I'm jumping on my computer, going to pre-order town. Pre-ordering live.
All right, Jack Posobiec, we are back live here. I'm in Washington, D.C. David Zaire is there in New York, in Long Island, outside the funeral home. David, walk us through what just happened. President Trump just spoke. What's the timeline from here?
While the motorcade just left, he's with County Executive Nassau County, Bruce Blakeman. He made comments that he spent a lot of time with the family, and this cannot be allowed to happen again, and things have to change in New York City, and they have to toughen up on crime, especially violent crime, which has been so rampant in New York City. Transit crime's up 53% since 2019. There's only 29,000 cops in the police force now. It was down from a high of about 40,000 under Mayor Giuliani. He had a clarion call for things to change in New York.
Now, tell me some more about the city, the idea that, you know, you mentioned before some of these statistics, a lot of police leaving, a lot of crime up, homicide up. It feels to me like there's a war on cops in the city of New York.
Well, there is a war on cops. You have, Jamami Williams in the city, in the New York City Council, again, during George Floyd, saying, trying to defund the police. In January, they tried to hamstring the cops again from doing their job by bogging them down for paperwork. Mayor Adams came out, you know, at least to veto that bill here. But the cops are retiring before they're even reaching their 20 years, where they get fully vested with their pensions, you know. So the situation is pretty dire in New York City. Now, murders and shootings are down a little bit in New York City, but felony assaults were at a 22, 23 or high last year, with 29,000 people being assaulted in the street, and grand theft auto being up about 18% last year. And in transit crime, again, is up about 15% across the board. It was up 85% in Bronx County year over year recently. The types of crimes that are going on are horrendous, and the people of New York don't feel safe, and the embattled police officers have to deal with the city council and a mayor who's not tough enough, I think, on the DA, Alvin Bragg. And this is a direct result of things like bail reform. Why are these guys even out of prison or jail? One was arrested 21 times. The other was arrested 10 times. The driver of the car, it was a routine traffic stop. They're casing a phone store in Far Rockaway, which is rampant with crime right now, which is part of Queens. This guy shot. He wouldn't get out of the car. He shot the cop in cold blood on a routine traffic stop to ask the car to move that was illegally parked outside this phone store. There is no regard for the law in New York City. People feel they can get away with murder, literally. And the rich people step over their bodies on the way to Starbucks, Jack. You know, they're just oblivious to what's going on. Something's got to change. Trump, I think, is making a play here in New York to put it front and center. And this is indicative of all the cities. Like Chicago has 5 times the grand theft auto rate in New York and 4 times the murder rate. And D.C. has 10 times the car theft rate and murder rate, I believe, of New York. But, you know, you're talking about 30,000 people getting assaulted in the streets of New York every day. 90,000 packages are stolen every day off the steps of people's property. You know, robberies are up. So even though murders and shootings are down a little bit, it's not good enough.
And New York City is directly tied to Trump in so many ways. This is his city. This is the city where he was born. He's from Queens. Trump is from Queens himself. He was born there. He grew up there with his family before obviously moving into Manhattan. This was a city that, by and large, he took with Giuliani through the 80s and then the 90s, brought it from the brink of destruction all the way back to where it was for so many years after Giuliani, but now it's sinking back again. So the fact that he's there today, I think, is it's even more symbolic because of the situation the city's in and because it's Trump. Isn't that right?
There's no doubt about it. And the focus, instead of going after Trump on these other things with the New York State Attorney General, and, you know, the DA paying attention to these other things that aren't even crimes, and ignoring what's going on here. You know, people are out hours later after they commit violent crimes. You can stab somebody and be back on the street in an hour. And that's not even an exaggeration here in New York City. You know, there's definitely, you know, 89,000, I believe, New Yorkers left New York City last year. 522,000 New Yorkers left the state the year before. Now we have 170,000 plus illegals here since June of 2022, and a lot of those crime statistics are not even counted in the numbers. The police don't even respond sometimes to calls if it's not, you know, a violent crime taking place. They're just handcuffed, and, you know, something has to give, and we have to replenish the resources. 3,000 cops retired last year. The graduating class of cops was only 2,000, so we have a net loss of 1,000 already. I think 1,000 cops may have put in for retirement so far this year, and it's only April, right? Just about. So there's a crisis going on here.
I don't even know how to describe it. And in so many ways, New York is emblematic of, and I say this as a Philly guy, by the way, from the Philly area, but New York is sort of a parallel. It's like symbolically America's city. It was our cultural center. It's our social center. It's our financial center. This idea that this being the main economic hub of the United States, and indelibly tied to America's greatness, and certainly one of America's greatest cities, is now seeping down into these disgusting areas and these levels that it was in the 1960s and the 1970s, and when Koch was mayor and so many others, that it was a guy like Trump. It was a guy like Trump, and literally was Trump and Giuliani that came in and cleaned the place up and turned Times Square from what it was, you know, with strip clubs and drugs and all the rest, and they turned into like an amusement park. And David, do people understand that it's because of these are all political decisions. These are political decisions that can be made and unmade by the people in power. Do people understand that?
I don't know if enough get it. You know, people are hiding in the Hamptons during COVID and during the high crime, who are the rich people of New York City. But Giuliani, and I worked with the administration representing the development community, restored New York by the things like, the Anchor Revitalization Program, bringing like Disney and companies to go take risks in bad areas in Coney Island, Brooklyn, Mermaid Avenue, Fulton Avenue in Brooklyn, in Harlem, 125th and, 116th and Leonard. Lenox, Malcolm X Plaza. And he got builders through incentives to go in and take risks and rebuild New York. But he also had the broken windows type thing where the quality of life crimes, if you would jump in a turnstile, chances are you had a weapon on you or you were wanted for a crime somewhere. They even solved serial murder crimes that way. And there was community policing. And the people in these communities want community policing, and that's the myth. Because the problem is, you got parts of Queens, so you go to Manhattan, it's like, you know, oh, it's Manhattan, it's fun and everything, and you're not going to get mugged probably on the street in the middle of the day. But if you go to Queens, in North Queens, right where Trump was from, Grand Theft Auto was up 45% in parts of Queens last year. And it's these other areas. Two-thirds of the children in the Bronx live below the poverty line right now. So Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, a nightmare. And that's what's going on.
Look, we got to say his name, folks. Jonathan Diller. This guy was a husband. He was a father. He was a member of New York's finest. And This obviously never should have happened. It's insane. The fact that you've got people like that, that even with everything that's been thrown at them, are still willing to step up and protect the city. It's completely nuts. David Zier, thank you so much for being there. Appreciate your work today, being out there in the cold and in the rain.
Thank you so much, Jack.
And go support, by the way, Tunnels to Towers, that paid off the mortgage to Jonathan Diller, his widow, his one-year-old son. These people are the best in America. There's no other way. Alvin Bragg belongs in jail. Absolutely belongs in jail. Be right back. Give me a minute. All right, Jack Posobiec back live here, Human Events Daily, Washington, D.C. Glenn Story, you were just telling me in the break that you actually used to live in New York. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I certainly did. We raised our children, had three children, worked there for 15 years. I lived up on the Upper East Side, and I would take the subway every day and most every evening unless I worked really late. But yeah, I was just telling you. We'd come out of our apartment, turn left, walk over to Lexington, walk up to 77th Street. And I never felt, ever felt out of place or threatened. You know what was interesting? I've been all over the different boroughs, you know, Bronx, Brooklyn, Queens, you name it. But what was interesting is as soon as Giuliani left office, and I'll never forget, I ran into him a number of times and I walked up to him, or my wife actually said, "Hey, you need to be the next president of the country, because the way you run a city, if we run a country this way, we'll win. We'll always be in good shape." But anyway, as soon as Giuliani left office, then came Bloomberg. I think there was 8 years of Bloomberg. Within a week, I would walk out. I had to step over people to get into the subway. They were laying on the grates. You know, all of a sudden, the city didn't feel as safe. And, you know, after a couple of years of that, we just decided, look, it's time to move down to, let's just say, a free Republic of Texas. And we did it before everything. And now that I talk with friends, the COVID, most of my friends have left that we had. And even one of the ADAs, she goes, "I can't work here." And she's not politically aligned with us, but she goes, "I can't work in this environment." So it's really shocking how the city has gone from the vital life epicenter of the financial world, the center of the financial world and of commerce, down to where we're down worrying about a police officer that gets shot riding a parking ticket. Come on.
And that's what's so horrific about this, because, and I've watched the video from the camera across, and I think we played it in the earlier bit of the show here. It's, you can't really see much because it's like sort of across the street and at a different angle from where Diller is standing. But that's just it. This isn't a situation where there was an attempt at an arrest. This isn't a situation. So basically what it looks like it is, they probably said, "Do you have any guns in the car?" And, "I'm not going to talk to you. Step out of the car." "I'm not going to step out of the car." And then eventually that leads to an escalation, a verbal escalation, which leads to the shooting. But the idea being that this was a routine stop. This wasn't like they were running down the street. There was some hot pursuit, et cetera, that it was, this wild shooting gallery kind of thing. And yet turning a gun, there used to be a belief that you don't shoot a cop. There used to be a belief that you don't kill a cop, that you don't. And it wasn't this, like, you know, I've seen people on the left or like libertarians will say, oh, you just worship police. You just worship police. It's not about worshiping police. It's about having a little bit of respect for somebody who's willing to go and do those tough jobs, those thankless jobs, to be yelled at, to be spit at every day, to have to deal with, in many cases, the dregs of society like this, to try to make our cities run properly. And so if there's, and I've said this to police, I said, man, I'm glad you guys do that job, because I don't want to do that job. That job sucks. That job is, you know, to be able to do it, that takes a very special breed, a very special breed to be able to do that. And that's why it's so disgusting to me. Everything from the BLM movement of 2020, which totally just lied, just straight up lied about police officers, to up to this today, where we've turned this country into spreading hatred. We just spread hatred for police officers. When I look at people like Jonathan Dillard, I say, I don't think this guy woke up any day of his life and said that he wanted to do something wrong to anybody out there. He probably just wanted, he looked like a guy who was trying to do the right thing for himself, his family, and his city. And that's why, I'll throw it back to you. I'll throw it back to you on Patriot Mobile, but Patriot Mobile actually does step up in many places to support organizations that go to help this.
Yeah, without question. I just want to say one thing. If the tables would have turned, could you imagine the uproar that it would have? An illegal, well, I don't know what they call them today, but an illegal immigrant came in and was killed by a cop. Well, the left, the media would be all in an uproar. But, you know, Jack, you hit the nail on the head. Patriot Mobile believes, you know, we mentioned it earlier, First Amendment, Second Amendment, military, first responders, and sanctity of life. That third pillar, military and first responders. We support our local police. We support our military first responders. You know, we go down a couple of times every year down to the border to support our border patrol. You know, these guys on the front line are seeing things that we never see as a normal citizen. And the police every day are seeing things. Even here in Texas, you're kind of going, oh my goodness, I can't believe that this is allowed to happen. Well, you know what? It's got to stop. We as a civilization cannot allow anybody to take the life of the unborn, take the life of a born. And can you imagine that one-year-old little boy growing up without a dad? It just breaks my heart. You have children. I have children. And the guy was just going to work, doing his job. That's corrupt. That's criminal. And that blood sits on our politicians' hands. That is a political decision to allow this stuff to happen. It has nothing to do with anything other than politics.
It really doesn't. Glenn, tell people about what are some of the latest promotions people have for Patriot Mobile, how people can get in. We just got about a minute left here in the show.
All right. Well, hey, we're America's only Christian conservative cell phone company. We put God first. We are based our business decisions on biblical principles. And if you want to be a part of Patriot Mobile, please go to patriotmobile.com/pozo and see what we're all about. Knowing that you're coming to a company that is better than the others, primarily because we're 100% U.S.-based customer service. You will talk to somebody in Texas or California when you want to hear about us, or call 972-PATRIOT. And I promise you, you'll love what we're doing. We have business plans. We're right there aligned with you.
And there you go, folks. Patriot Mobile. Go support. Just go ahead. Everyone's got a cell phone. Everybody's got cell phone service. Wouldn't you rather support a company that actually supports our values, that supports the types of things that we are fighting for day in, day out in this country and in this fight? Ladies and gentlemen, as always, you have my permission to lay ashore.